Why didn't you let her suffer for just a little longer so that you could keep the Sabbath holy in my eyes? It's not exactly the most caring of sentiments, is it? But there are some other things going on here as well that just really pile on to this poor woman and her healing. So let's take a look at this poor woman. This woman who for 18 years, the length of time from one child to be born and then go away to college, that many years, she has been afflicted and unable to stand up straight. We know her affliction, we know the root of it, and we know Jesus' answer to it. We don't know how much pain she's in because of it, how much of a physical strain it has become. All we know is she has an affliction, and Christ has the solution. Now, the malady is attributed to a spirit, meaning it's a spiritual problem for her. And so we have her talking to Jesus to be healed. Now, so that I can give you sort of an image, can you imagine walking all your days bent over like this? Every day, bent over. Now, I'm 6'1", and so I've got these nice monkey arms. I can reach things even if I'm bent over. But to think of somebody who's shorter, how do they function? How do they get into their cabinets in their home? How do they make dinner? How do they do anything functional? When we hear this woman's malady, we think, oh, she's just bent over, that's whatever. But this affects everything. And then you figure in the societal aspect of it, where society looks at her and says, your malady is not a physical one, but a spiritual one. And so judgments come, questions come about why she's that way. Why her? Why did this happen to her? And so it's not just a problem of one form. It's a problem of multiple forms. And so when Jesus heals her, he doesn't just heal her body. He heals her soul, her spirit, her whole of everything is healed by him. I mean, how quick does this miracle take? Seconds. Jesus sees her, calls her over, asks her the question, do you wish to be healed? And then lays his hands on her. That's it. Lays his hands on her. And that's it. And she's made well again. But this leader of the synagogue, doesn't like this. He is so steeped and stuck in his views. He is steeped and stuck in what is and has been that he has to say something. But notice, he doesn't confront Jesus directly. What does he do? He looks at the crowd and starts to talk to them. He doesn't take Jesus aside as a brother and say, you and I need to talk about what just happened. I'm not okay with this on the Sabbath. There was none of that. He's got to rile up the crowd. He's got to get them going after Jesus. He can't confront this directly. He can't, and he won't. But he also does something in this moment as well. Because all of the Pharisees and scribes, they struggle with the idea of Jesus' power is on full display, and yet they don't like it. They don't like that he's healing and preaching and teaching. They want to criticize, but in this moment, the leader of the synagogue affirms that Jesus did something in this moment. He affirms that Jesus healed her. He affirms that the woman is made right by Jesus. And yet he also can't admit that he did what he did. He can't admit that he acknowledged Jesus' power. which is why he is doing everything he can to rile up the crowd against Jesus. He's trying to get them to attack him. But instead of being stuck in the mire of a "you said this, no, I said this, no" type of conversation, Jesus just says, "What do you do with an animal that is suffering on the Sabbath?" And I realize this is a wide range of suffering, not having water on the Sabbath. If I had a dollar for every time I have to tell the kids to go feed the dog's water bowl or the chicken's water in the coop, the number of times on the Sabbath that I have to do that, it's probably close to 52 times a year, ballpark. The reality is we show mercy to animals. He calls out the synagogue leader for being so kind to animals. You show kindness to a horse, to an ox, to a financial investment, but you don't show it towards this woman who's suffering. Your answer to this woman is, wait until the Sabbath is passed, then go and heal her. Wait until that's done. Wait until you're over this. But heaven forbid you should let Dobbin or Ferdinand sit there without water for the rest of the day. Do you see where this leader of the synagogue just has his priorities all askew? He's concerned about animals when this woman has suffered for 18 years. He'll untie a donkey or a horse so it can go to graze and have food. But he won't let Jesus simply lay his hands on this woman and heal her. There's this moment where I look at this man and I just wonder where his heart is. Is it ossified, just kind of gotten like some of our pipes when they get full of lime? Just can't feel, connect with the humanity of this woman and her suffering. But he's worried about oxen. And I think that's where the whole hypocrisy in this comes really to the fore. Because you're not only keeping those animals because you love them. I mean, right now we have the conversation, well, do you talk to your chickens? Do you talk to the animals? And no, we're not Dr. Doolittle, but the reality is they're chickens. They're there to produce eggs. They're an investment. They're not pets. These animals that Jesus relates about are not your pets. They're not probably named. They're the ox. Go take the ox and untie him. It's like changing the oil on your tractor on a Sabbath day. You're taking care of your investment with these animals. But you won't allow me to heal this poor woman who has suffered for 18 years. There just seems to be a skewed priority in this man, that he's willing to give allowance for financial salvation, for allowing the animals to be taken care of that are an investment. But this poor woman, her suffering can wait a few hours more. I don't think he would have ever said that about the donkey or the ox he lists. The fact of the matter is, Jesus points out that the Sabbath is a holy day, but it is what we do that makes it holy. It is how we hold it that makes it holy. Think about this. In Genesis, way back in Genesis 2:2, it simply states, "And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh from all the work that he had done. So God blessed this Sabbath day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation." It's a special day. It's a hallowed day, a sacred day, because God rested on that day. But then we get into Exodus 28, where God says to Moses, and by proxy to the people of Israel, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or your alien resident in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and consecrated it. Is it work that Jesus does for this woman? Or is it perhaps one of the most spiritual and more aware moments of this woman's life? To think for 18 years, she looked at the world through the tops of her shoes or her sandals. For 18 years, she couldn't straighten herself. And then on this Sabbath day, this moment, Jesus heals her. Do you think that all Sabbath days will be holy for her from that day on? Of course. How could they be any more holy? How could they be any more wondrous for her? And yet this synagogue leader would have her shamed and attacked for being healed on this Holy of Days. It's easy for us to forget what makes the Sabbath the Sabbath. It's easy for us to forget that it's more than kicking our feet up and watching our favorite sports teams. Right now, it's hard to watch the Yankees. And, well, let's be honest, the other sports teams haven't started yet, so it's hard. It's hard to not get into the funk of just putting up our feet and taking the rest of the afternoon off. But what is the most holy of things we can do on the Sabbath? But serve God. Serve God and how we serve God. Those things are what matters. Now I get it. There is this unspoken element in this miracle because I can't help but think that there's a compassion fatigue as well. They've watched her for 18 years in her community. And they cared probably very deeply in that first year. But after 18 years, do they still care as deeply as they did? Probably not. It's one of those things that we saw play out during the pandemic. Early in the pandemic, we saw the support. We had those little caravans where you had signs going past shut-ins. We had signs for teachers, doctors, nurses. We had support coming out of our ears for first-line workers. But then our fatigue hit and our compassion flagged a little bit. And then it became harder and harder. The reality is it's easy to see the false piety of the synagogue leader and not see some of ourselves in this. He's upset about the way things are and this shift in the way things could be. Which, though, is more honoring to God? This woman having freedom from her ailment. After 18 years, what is more holy? Jesus sitting there and continuing to teach or healing this woman? What keeps the Sabbath more? What honors God more and makes this a hallowed moment more? Telling her to come back later or in the moment at that time, simply putting hands on her and restoring her in body and in soul. The problem that always seems to happen with the scribes is that they filled this need of interpretation. They filled this need of what God meant by hallow the day. What does God mean by keep the Sabbath holy? But in their explanation, they've accepted a very narrow view of how the Sabbath can be and is holy. The Sabbath is both blessing and gift, but also a responsibility. It is important for us to rest because we are following that model that God gives, to rest and give ourselves and our souls time to recover. But also it is a responsibility to keep this day, to keep it in such a way as it honors God. Not because we have to put up our feet, but because we have to follow what God said. I remember many years ago in seminary when Dr. Tom Bogart gave me a bit of a dressing down because I was arguing about how my knee was okay enough to play more football. And by the way, I was limping something like this at the time. And he looked at me and said, "If God made sure to rest after creating the world, Bill, who do you think you are and who do we think we are that we don't?" Christ shows us to act with compassion. And compassion is not work, but an act of service to God. Brothers and sisters, the true keeping of the Sabbath is what Christ does here. The true meaning of the Sabbath is that we have a day to honor God and serve Him. What better way than how Christ acts here and now? What better way than to serve God on this holy of days? Amen. And now let us respond to God through our gifts.